A little backwards, because I need y'all to be patient with me. I have a cool intro, but it keeps playing Scott's, so I have to start Scott's in order to fix it and change it.
That's
so just
hilarious.
Wait. So you're here, but you're not here pretending. Okay, this is from last night, so hang on a second. I'm going to switch it. But in order, see, this is why I like vMix, because I could have done this, but I can't in here. I have to actually, unfortunately. It's not going. Let me see if I can add another scene here. Hang on. Wait right there.
She has an intro. We are going to play this intro, even if we have to, like, take you to Canva and play it.
Hang on. Now they're black. But they should be able to still hear me.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Here we go.
How about the Farage factor, though? I note that he's back on the front page of the Sunday Express, hinting at the idea of a comeback. Obviously, he's working for this TV station. There's a suggestion that if he does come up back, he's going to dive bomb into the electoral campaign, really, at the last minute. But can he do serious damage to the Conservatives?
Sure. I mean, I think he can, and he probably is already, because he, in the reform, has the potential to mop up a lot of those red wall Tory voters.
For instance, the party leader that he was doing the introduction, he said Britain's broken and the Tories broke it. Do you agree?
I think every party's broken. It's not just the Tory party, it's the Labour Party's Parliament. Yeah, it's the whole of Parliament. Oh, listen to what I have to say. It's the whole of Parliament, the old system, the old democratic system in this country is rigged.
Hey guys, welcome back to Resistance Chicks. We're your hosts, Leah and Michelle. I have to adjust that camera to get all of you here, Leah. Let me see if I can make this a little bit bigger. No, I can't. Ooh, I probably can. Wait, let me zoom out here. Let's see what happens if I do this. Come here a little bit. So today is St. Patrick's Day, Leah. Ah, there you are. You got the pot of gold on your head.
I do.
She's got a pot of gold
and a rainbow.
And a rainbow.
I think you need to adjust the camera just a little bit.
You want to back it up? Oh, you want the full thing?
If you're going to be wearing
pot of gold on the head there.
If you're going to be wearing a rainbow on your head, you might as well have
the whole rainbow on the head there.
Yeah.
Look at that.
As many of you know, Michelle and I are part Swedish.
We did.
Yeah, but many of you may not know that we come from two parents, not just one.
It's amazing, don't
yes,
you know?
And our dad is Swedish, but our mom has Irish.
Irish. My grandma's maiden name is Dyer.
And all the stuff around my house here with my grandma is all this Irish stuff, green stuff everywhere.
My mic's covering
she
up my
shirt.
She
bought us some Claddagh rings.
I didn't wear my Claddagh ring today. I did. My grandma's...
green, yeah. Green. My grandma's favorite color was purple and then
can't
green.
Can't see them very well.
She even went to Ireland to go research her roots with her brothers and sister.
Yeah, she did.
She's very Irish.
My grandma was so proud of her Irish roots.
She was so proud.
She had German in her, but she never got proud of that.
Well, I tell you, here's the thing. This is how we know we're Irish.
How? The red hair?
Our mom and grandma, they have green eyes.
They do. Oh.
And three out of the five children all had red hair.
And lots of the grandchildren have red
hair. And lots of the grandchildren had red hair.
And you and I, when we're not dyeing our hair, get accused of having red hair.
We do.
Even though we don't have red
hair. So we're a little bit, we're a lot of bit Swedish, but we're a good bit Irish.
So, you know, it is kind of fitting that our kind of more official show back. Like, we tried to do a show on Friday. Patriot Gallery had a little bit of a spell. But like our official world news program to come back on
we could
Saints
tell them
Patsy's
what
Day would be our mom's heritage.
We're in the middle of our show on Friday and Matt's mom-sitting.
Matt was making sure
she's okay.
Doesn't
because
get
in she,
any trouble.
Make sure she doesn't get in trouble. She's on oxygen.
She likes and, to get in trouble.
I've been posting about this mucus. Our friend Catherine.
The mucus
had a,
monster.
This mucus monster. Yeah, this. My friend Catherine had a dream about a mucus monster. And what keeps happening, and thank you for sending us all of your tips. And I tell you, we've done them all. My mom is a living, walking, like, pincushion of his holistic remedies.
Yes.
And when it gets really bad, unfortunately, we just keep throwing them at her, like, catch, mom, catch.
Yep.
So we've done the nebulizers and the colloidal silver things.
And we may be doing the treatment that shall not be named.
Not on the Facebook.
Not on the book face.
And I think that's
actually, like my accent just went kind of Jamaican from the Pirates of the Caribbean where the girl that has the teeth.
You did.
Little bit.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Yeah. No, seriously. She had it a Friday night. You guys might have been like, well, where'd everybody go? My mom had a piece of mucus like stuck in her throat.
She couldn't breathe.
Legit couldn't breathe.
Her blood pressure spiked to 200 over something crazy.
Yeah, and so she was able to finally cough it out. It's this giant sticky mess. Like that.
So by the time I ended the show and came back upstairs, Leah's like, everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
We're all fine here.
Yeah. So we've got her on a lot of stuff. And did you know there's a thing called nebulized NAC?
I'm finding this out from Dr. Hyder.
Did you give her NAC today?
You said you asked me and then you did.
Yeah, so
you down with NAC? Hey, you know me. We down with NAC?
Dr. Hyder has a website.
My go-to doc.
And it is amazing. If you guys need, they will help you get. You can. There's like this concierge service. You pay $115 for the first thing. And then everything.
It's spelled it wrong. Yeah. Hey, just leave me alone.
It's literally my go-to doc. Okay.
Wait, I got an extra. What is wrong with me today?
If you don't put it in right, it doesn't come up. So for $115, hey, Matt's got on. Come on, brother. Come here.
I don't
come
have your here. Camera up. You'll have to come in on the regular
show
camera.
People you're green.
Look come at here. Him. Look at
He's
him.
Got
no, him. You'll fit. You'll fit.
I like this green. This is a
color. Here he comes.
It's my favorite color.
Oh, look at how green he looks.
The greens don't really go together.
No, they do. I love it.
It's like a spike of green come right out your body. It's
you
like,
can't tell that my shirt's green. On camera, you can't see it, but this is a green.
Yeah.
It's green. Look how green it is. Matt, tell him it's green. That's
it's
not teal.
It's green.
Green, Matt.
It's kind of greenish blue.
Nah, it's green. Y'all people.
A little bit more blue than green, but we'll go with it. It's forest green.
My gosh. It is forest
like
green.
Like evergreen green?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but forest green.
That is my favorite color green. I love that green. There's my I have a favorite color blue, a favorite color yellow, and a favorite color green.
What, this?
That your shirt right there is Kelly Green. I painted my uncle's room.
You did.
And this bathroom in here, that color, I love it so much. It's my I've got three favorite colors. It's a bright sky blue. It's all the really vivid colors. And that I love that
mask.
See, I'm more of a hunter green guy, but you know, you gotta work for what you got.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then you got that and it's working.
It tones it down because it's a little bit bright.
So the Mac cam will come back. I had taken it to the hospital.
It looks like I'm working at a grocery store or something.
No, it doesn't. It looks nice.
It looks like
I'm from the people that work at the grocery stores have shirts like that.
You are
the
stem of a flower. You want to put the rainbow on your head?
Do you have Irish in you? You have German in you.
Are you? You don't have Irish.
I don't think so, but I guess anything's possible.
No, he's German through and through. I don't know. It's still with the Nazi thing. It's kind of hard to celebrate anything German. But do you like sausage and sauerkraut?
Yes.
I like sausage and, yeah.
I can't turn his mic on, though. Your mic works. There you go.
He's getting picked up.
He's getting picked up.
Yep.
I had to take,
we'll
I steal his webcam.
If I go to the microphone, then I'm off.
No!
I know.
Is that a good one?
But you can move the mic.
That's a good
mic. He's got a good mic.
I heard you in my ear.
So the Mac cam will come back. I mean, I probably could have set it up, but I wasn't sure. You know what? You know who should help co-host the show today?
Oh, you want to co-host the show today?
What are you doing in 10 minutes, Matt? You want to come sit in the hot seat? Like mom, Michelle goes and mom sits.
I'm gonna sit. Mom,
do you want to do the show?
Either way.
Come on. All right, let me finish. You go upstairs. Do what you're gonna do.
Go get your come breakfast.
Come back in 10 minutes.
Go get something to eat.
Yeah, I was gonna get some food.
go get some food, and then Matt's gonna take the Michelle seat.
I love it,
and help host.
He's been wanting to because he was on the UK farmer protest before I was.
Yeah,
he was. And he follows all those guys over there in the UK because he has a slight obsession with Irish border collies.
Little bit.
This,
you know what I would love to get Matt for his birthday?
What?
A border collie. His birthday's on the 27th, so this is a birthday month. Leah's birthday was on the 11th. We're going to do our birthday celebration.
Sounds like a little bit of work.
It does sound like. Scott's getting two dogs.
He is.
Oh, my gosh. Let me show you guys this.
Scott Kesterson is getting, what are they called?
Tibetan
Mastiffs. Tibetan Mastiffs. The hair is just, look at those dogs.
They're actually super cute.
You got to show them a full-size one.
I know.
I mean, I know they can Google it, but.
Look at this. So, I don't know if I should show the pictures of the children in the photos,
I don't think
though.
They mind.
You don't think they mind?
No.
They're Bard's people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at this dog, Leah.
Oh my goodness.
It's going to be a cutie tootie. Anyway, so Leah's birthday was on the 11th. We're going to attempt to do package opening tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing good today. Patriot Galler's had a phenomenal day. I'm going to give you an update on her in 1 second. So package opening tonight. Patriot Galler's birthday is on the 23rd. Mm-hmm. Matt's birthday is on the 27th. It's the month of days of birthing. Right?
Yeah.
It's a new birth month. Okay, so Patriot Gallery, last night I came on Scott's show real quick because I don't know if y'all know this, but when he live streams video, that's not him. It's me. I'm live streaming it. Okay? I'm doing all of everything. I'm making the thumbnail. I'm doing all the things. And I'm twisting his arm to go live with the camera. So anyway, so I'm in his Zoom. And I'm getting ready to shut down the show. And I'm like, I could pop in and give a mom update. So I did. I totally freaked him out. He ended his prayer and he's like, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. And I'm like, hey. And he's like, and I popped up with the camera. It was so funny. And then my audio wouldn't work because I had myself muted. I unmuted the soundboard. I unmuted in Zoom. But my third fail safe to make sure that we're not transmitting noise during these shows of Scott's was the XSplit, and I didn't unmute it. And so they, only Podbean heard what I had to say. The two Rumble streams didn't. So but if you had heard last night, I would have been like, she's coughing, she's had a rough time, you know, but thank you for all your prayers. She's doing much better, but we're still trying to get through the mucus monster and all this, that, and the other. So your prayers must have worked. That and some of the stuff that can't be mentioned.
Yeah, and we're still working on it. I mean,
But she woke up today. Doing really good. Laughing. Her blood pressure's down to 119.
I'm like, should it drop? I mean, should she be like that? I told her, I said,
she's
Mom.
She's preaching the power of God. She's
writing
blogs.
You are healthier today than you have been in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And honestly, though, but yesterday and the day before were just
rough.
Hard days.
And now we make it sound like they were hard on us. But they were hard for Mom.
Well, she... What? What's going on?
I don't know.
We froze?
I think the screen just decided to go to sleep or something.
Weird. Maybe it's screen timeout or something. Maybe you got to keep hitting buttons.
I don't know what that was.
But we're here.
We're here.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. But she coughed all night, didn't sleep. But last night she slept pretty good.
You're going to have to take this mouse instead of Matt and keep working with it the whole show. You're just freaking me out. That just freaked me out. But we're still here. We're all right. Everything's okay.
Yo.
This is a new, brand new computer. All right, so anyway, she sits in the sun on the porch today. She works on her blog for an hour. Yeah, coughing's down to a minimal.
You got to go check out my Facebook post.
So,
Mom doesn't let me take a picture of her from the front, but I got a picture of Mom from the back. Show them that.
Oh, look at this that. Was, She's sitting this in the sun was, this morning.
She sat there for like an hour and a half and just soaked in. And I made a big post on how sun is healing.
This picture's not even showing up that great. Look at her hair. I always say her hair looks like a donut twist.
I was going to say it looks like a donut twist.
There you go. You can kind of see the...
Mom has the healthiest hair.
She has the most beautiful
nails.
Hair ever. Yeah. So you want to know where we get the long hair from.
Well, I don't have those nails, and I do not have that hair.
So she's doing very well today, and I foresee a lot of progress forward because she's been really working in the Holy Spirit. And working on, she said she had some darkness that she was working through and all kind of
stuff.
You
know, they give you a report and they say, sorry, that we can only make you sort of comfortable. There's really nothing we can do for you.
But then there's a song that I love.
Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
I said,
whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am free. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
I don't know if you're a little off tune. Yeah. Hey, you know what? But his words are what matter.
Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. I said, whose report will you believe?
I'm doing it right. You ain't doing it right. You ain't following me. And I sang get first. Leah.
Okay, but, and here's the thing. Sometimes you get a report and there's no natural answers at all.
Yeah.
So while there's not a lot well, there's none, while there's no medical establishment answers to make her better, like get like healed from the emphysema.
But
there are natural there are natural things.
It's amazing.
And MMS, and I'm just going to say it.
You said it.
Is a big one. You said it. And there's we have tabs. Begun that. I'm not done yet, so don't bring them up.
Okay.
And there's a really cool fiber eating, protein eating supplement called Serrapeptase. And I've read so many good things. They did a really amazing study. And this is for you guys too. Okay. So as we go down this journey, we want to let you guys know what is working.
Yep.
Because some of you are going to be dealing with some of the same issues that my mom is dealing with, that we may be dealing with. And the best way to know something is working is if did it work for you?
Yeah.
Right? I will tell you, Michelle, what worked for mom of Vicky Natale's that we ran out of?
I don't even have it down here. The nighttime CBD.
Everybody tincture. Go get it. Everybody go get it
I
right now.
Pull it up right now.
Right now, right now. Because if you
organicbodyessentials.com.
If you ever have trouble sleeping, if you ever just, if you've got an anxiety attack,
yeah.
If you're just feeling nervous at any time and you just like, I just need to sleep. I can't shut down my brain.
Yeah.
I just need to feel peace.
Right.
She took a quarter of a dropper of that because I couldn't get it. We're down to the bottom of it. I just wouldn't order some more. Okay. She took a quarter dropper of that. She goes, oh, I feel really good. Yeah. Sometimes.
But here's the thing. What were we trying to accomplish with that? So when we
stop a panic attack,
not just the panic attack, fear. But the cough.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
We've been talking about it, using it for muscle pain, joint pain, topical, you know, different things like that. And yet we used it for something completely different.
It was a dual acting thing. So we're trying to break up the mucus, and I look it up, and CBD oil is good for breaking up mucus.
Yes.
And getting that going.
It's amazing.
And so, but we knew that the PM, Vicky has always said that if you need to sleep, if you need to rest.
Right.
What happens is that when you get to, and maybe some of you have ever experienced this, I know a lot of you guys have nasal problems, sinusitis and things like that, and you just get things stuck, and then you have like a panic attack as a result of that.
Yeah.
So you need to calmly get it out, and you need to calm yourself to get it out, right? Yeah. And actually, my mom said that when she, the calmer she is, the more she's able to get stuff out.
Right.
So that nighttime PM CBD, I highly recommend that everybody put it right now in your medicine cabinet. Is it a little expensive? Yes, but when you need it's cheap.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
When you need it, you need it.
So it's called the Extreme Terpenes for Sleep. She changed the name.
You used to get 5% off with our
code. Now you get 10% off.
Now you get 10%.
Yeah.
10%. Okay. So
you save a lot if you do the subscribe and save. I don't know if you still save on top of ours.
Wow. You do save a decent amount.
With that. So huge.
What's the promo code?
RC. It's right there. It's on the screen.
RC. So I highly recommend that. I did accidentally spill some of our.
Leah.
It's so.
You broke my heart when you told me. This is the second time you've done this.
I've been nervous.
This is my favorite product next to the CBD tincture, is the Flawless Face Serum.
It's got amazing essential oils in it.
This is the second one that she spilt.
It just kind of.
So this is what I decided. I'm going to get you a little cup.
Out of my hand.
That it's going to sit in like a little thing of sand. So you can't spill it.
I felt like when Jesus, when Mary was anointing Jesus' feet with oil.
I can't believe
it. But it just, it was gone. I knew I was going to have to face Michelle.
Well, but no, you didn't, because you kept it from me.
I told you the very day.
The first time, not just the second time.
This I just told you.
The same no, because I happened. Came out and I said to you, I said, we need to order some more of this because I noticed it was getting low.
I told you in my head.
And then you said.
I told you in my head. Oh my gosh. I told you in my head.
You did.
So anyways, yeah, guys, we haven't been on in a little while. Inflation's through the roof. I just made a post on Facebook saying that inflation, the government has stolen 28% of your wealth, or I don't even
just
like,
since 2020.
Some people like have some money in the bank and they've got a house and stuff, but they don't consider themselves to have any wealth. Right. You know what I mean? Because they're like, I ain't wealthy, so I ain't got no wealth. Okay, they've stolen 28% of all your stuff, of everything you've got, of your money.
And you know what's
worse?
You know what's so bad about that? Is that because the theft has come through inflation, it's a permanent theft that keeps on thieving.
Not only is it permanent, but you don't even get to protest.
But it keeps on thieving.
But oh yeah, it keeps on getting. Yeah, sure. But you don't even get to protest because if they literally knocked on your door and said, "Give me 28% of what all you got," everybody be in the streets.
But now it's give me 28% of what you've got indefinitely.
So how do you hedge against that?
You go to ITM Trading.
How do you hedge against
that? Get gold and silver. I'm gonna pull up our little ad. I'm not kidding about this, guys. Whoa! You take it easy. So call ITM Trading, 1-866-950-7776.
If you do have any wealth.
Oops, hang on. I'm not that well, and there's our solar eclipse flyer that I'm trying to pull up the wrong things. I'm getting all out of control here. Let's go.
April 8th.
Nope. Wait, one more. Wait, there it is. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and do this right now. April 8th.
Do it.
Go to bardsfest.com. This isn't even the right flyer. I'm just totally out of control here. Bardsfest.com. It is going to be one of the most phenomenal events. And not just because, let me get rid of this. Not just because we're going to be there, Scott's going to be there, and so many other cool people are going to be there. Ooh, I even have noise. Watch this.
I was wondering where that was coming from. It's coming out only my left ear.
Look at it.
Did you see me turn my head left? I was like, is my phone ringing? And is it?
No.
Oh, you're going to show me. It moves. Watch. Boom, boom, boom. It goes into totality. Watch.
Watch it. This is.
Watch. Hold,
it's one
hold,
of the coolest experiences
hold,
ever.
Hold. Ready?
So.
Totality.
Right. So I'm going to pause it there so you guys can see it. It's a dual event. Mm-hmm. So if you live closer to Texas and you want to go down to Pastor Rod Parker's event, you can still register at bardsfest.com. Okay, so go to bardsfest.com. There's a suggested donation, but if you cannot afford to come, just still get your tickets. We need to know how many people are going to be there. You can just put in like a buck or whatever. I don't know how that works. I don't think you end up paying anything even if you put a dollar in.
Okay.
But we want to see you there at Bards Fest.
Yeah, please register.
Please. We need to know how many people are coming. 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. or until God says stop. All day revival, worship, food, vendors, speakers. The eclipse starts at 1:53. I don't know exactly what time it goes into totality, but somewhere in between that and 4:25. It'll last for 3 minutes and 24 seconds in Brookville, Ohio. I know so many of you guys are planning on coming, but please make sure that you are registering.
We are kind of joining with Pastor Devin East and Apostle Greg Davis's ministry team. If you guys need a touch from heaven, it's going to show up. The sun is showing up. The S and the S-U-N is showing up.
You know what?
And these people, Apostle Greg Davis, literally raised his dad from the dead, brought his sister back to life. This man's got an anointing. He's got a power, and he's going to be there. He has volunteered. I think he's coming from Northern Carolina. He's coming there on his own dime to be with you people, to minister the gospel, to minister that life-giving power, and to equip you with being the minister. This I want people to call them. I want apostles. I want evangelists. I don't want to put this aside. Oh, there's no more prophets. There's no more apostles. This man is an apostle. How do you know somebody's an apostle? Because he church plants. Okay. Amen. Apostles church plant churches. What do apostles do? Apostles create disciples who create disciples.
Come on.
Okay. So you've created some disciples. That's great. When those disciples start to make disciples, then you're an apostle.
Come on.
Okay? So he makes disciples who make disciples, therefore he is an apostle. Okay?
Really good.
And what that is he's a church planter, right? Mm-hmm. He's planting little churches. Anytime you have a person who is filled with the power and the glory of God, who's leading somebody else to Jesus, that in and of itself is a church. It's an ecclesia. It's a governing body here on earth. It's governing in heaven, right?
That's good.
So it's very powerful. I tell you, Leah and Abigail are coming. They literally, they can't even stay inside their bodies. They just want to like pop off out of their earth suits and just live in their heavenly beings. They are so excited. I'm telling you, those two girls together, they have brought the manifestation healing power of God, testimony of people being literally healed. One woman came to, you guys heard me tell this story, came to the end of any revival with pain riddled throughout her entire body. Okay. Those two girls, I didn't give them instructions. I didn't tell them what to do. 15 and 16 years old. They're like, you know, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to get this some anointing oil.
Do it.
Okay, probably not for. Good. Yeah, okay. So then they get on. Both get on their knees. They lay hands on her feet. Now I have been privy to watch. They text message back and forth sometimes, and I'm in.
You to read this one. If you
go ahead, you can read it. But here's the thing. They are Leah, 15 years old. I don't know how she has time to read her Bible because she's still in public school. She's going to be homeschooled soon.
And she does jujitsu like 7 days a week.
But she's got her Bible is highlighted. She's got little sticky notes on the sticky notes and under the highlights of the underlines.
Abigail and like, does it's like too. The yeah, whole Bible.
She's got like, it's like a rainbow color. I don't even know what does blue mean, Leah? Because she's got blue over here and pink over here and yellow over here. And she's like, God is just downloading things in me. And every time.
And they're so mature.
And Abigail is like, God is downloading things inside of me. And then they're so excited because they get so excited when God gives them the same thing. So when they did our show, Revelation Red Pill on Wednesday, at the end, they both got these same words. And they're like, they're so excited when they're both getting the same words. When you get these two girls together and they're going to get together, I'm telling you, they will, and I guarantee you this, there will be manifesting healings of God.
Amen.
If you need a healing, a touch from God,
come on.
These two girls have it. Apostle Greg have it. Greg Davis has it. Pastor Devin East has it. Okay.
Scott Kesterson has it.
So there's going to be so much ministry. And I just feel like this is going to be a time of healing mentally and emotionally, and especially manifestation healing, physical healings. I am advertising
and,
this.
Pastor Neil Peterson conference. Has it.
And that's Pastor Neil Peterson has it. That boy, man, whatever you call me, this dude's my age. he casts out demons. There's a healing. So I'm telling you, this is a healing conference. Okay. You've got Benny Hinn, you know, quality anointing people, several of them. All right. And I'm telling you, they're all getting together they want to lay hands on you.
You know what Scott said?
What?
Because he wants us to get mom up there for the eclipse. He goes, there is going to be healing in the darkness.
Yeah. There will
be. From that hour, that time period, we will be going into straight up revival during that period of the eclipse. We will be praying for people. We're going to block that time period out.
We will not be closing our eyes. We will all be looking at the sun during the 3 or 4 minutes of the eclipse.
Also, I made sure that Scott ordered 2,500 total solar eclipse glasses.
Wow.
So that we have enough, because you never know. We're ready. We're ready for big.
Whoa.
Okay, we're ready for 2,500 people. But, you know, we want to make sure that your eyes are covered. If you are going to not be at our event and you want to watch the total solar eclipse, go and get you some glasses.
Get the glasses.
You don't want to look at the sun, okay?
I still, from 2017, in the back of the blue van are the glasses.
Nuh-uh.
I just saw them.
That's going to come in handy. All right, let me read this post from Leah, little Leah, and then this is a word that she got, and then we'll move on to the World News program. Patriot Gallery says that she had to work through some hidden abuses to get light to that darkness to stop some panic attacks. It's really, really good. Leah says, as I was listening to the polos, we have a little Marco Polo group, I felt the Lord say, they call us crazy because they are uncomfortable with the fact that the way of the Lord is right. She's 15, by the way. She goes, wow, it seriously hit me. These people who encourage trans on children, promote mutilation, interact with witchcraft, try to take over our schools and bring evil into the churches, and even just everyday lukewarm Christians call us crazy, freaks, insane, call true Christians a cult, are so uncomfortable with us because they know the way of the Lord is right.
Yeah.
The fact that we know God and we preach God makes them so uncomfortable that they resort to claiming we are crazy just so they don't have to deal with the truth. They are afraid of seeing Jesus face to face, so they would rather claim it is a conspiracy. These people don't want to have to deal with the uncomfortable times of actually raising their own children in the way God intended. So instead, they allow them to fall down these evil paths. They choose to be comfortable at the sake of their lives, at the sake of having to repent and change their lifestyle to glorify God, calling people in the front lines fighting spiritual and physical battles for heaven and earth crazy because hearing the truth of the world is too uncomfortable. Knowing that them directly obeying God is too much to hear. As people come before Scott, Leah Faith, Michelle, Pastor Devonese, Doc Pete, Abigail, and I and call us crazy, the Lord says it is because they know the way of him is the right way and what we are preaching comes directly from God. Therefore, they avoid it instead of coming before us and listening to our Savior speak through us. The Lord is directly applying this to Tag right now. This is a prophetic word that she got, saying that he, as he runs for these positions in office and town and county and his state, people will not agree with him at first. They will claim these ideas are crazy, but the Lord says that means you are doing exactly the thing he intends for you to do because the devil shakes in his boots when we speak the name of Jesus. And as people are being saved, he says, I've lost another one. And those people who call us crazy are the people we must pray for because their hearts have been hardened. The Lord is saying, Tag, the people who disagree with you are the people who will thank you years from now for helping bring God back into Indiana. She's 15.
No, and she doesn't look like much. And when I say that, she's just like kind of, you know, average height, average looking teenager. And when she speaks, and when I say that, I'm like, she's just a kid, but she's not. Mm. I'm like, she's just, you know, you would see her, you know, playing basketball or playing sports with, and she's just a kid, but she's not a kid. Like she's like 50 years old or something.
Same thing with Abigail.
I know.
I literally could just do shows of reading and then girls, you need to just take your text messages and record them and put them on your channel, The Revolutionary Revivalists.
That's my one thing with them.
Okay.
That's my one thing.
They need to start doing more videos.
I need to.
They don't have to be all fancy. Just sit there, record it, read it. Oh, there we go again.
They can see us, but you can't see them. You gotta hit it. Oh, right. So. Yeah, Leah and Abigail are absolutely amazing, and they were so funny. I told them, I said, you guys are both kind of a little clones of me. I feel like when I listen to you and I look at your life stories, my life story kind of parallels Leah's and a little bit of Abigail's, and they thought that was so great. They're like, we were just saying that.
Abigail's, your name is Leah Faith.
And Abigail's,
Middle name is Faith, and you've got Leah and Leah's Faith. Name is it's Leah. Amazing. Yeah. So last but not least, before I leave and let Matt come down here in a minute, I know he's probably not done eating. Old School Survival Boot Camp. Are you ready? So let me turn this down a little bit. Do you like my little music?
That I do. I do.
Okay. So Old School Survival Boot Camp, May 17th through the 19th in Vinton County, Ohio, which is AKA Hocking Hills. Everybody knows.
Place in Ohio.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. We have a promo code for this for a 3-day pass. It's huge. 35%. Our chicks. Old School Survival Boot Camp. Go to oldschoolsurvivalbootcamp.com or resistancechicks.com. And click on the banner there and on the website.
Yes, Tara just wants you there.
And we just want to get your butts in the seat. Okay, yeah. We want to get you there.
It's 3 days of camping. It's 3 days of taking classes, learning how to live off the grid, learning how to... They got baking bread over fire. They're butchering cows. They're butchering pigs.
It's the largest homesteading, prepping, and bushcrafting meat in the whole world.
Our little buddy Trey is holding a class. He's going to have a bow-making class.
That's amazing.
Or arrow-making class.
So... I should go get the thing. No, we'll do it on your birthday thing.
Yeah.
He drew an amazing prophetic picture of Leah and I. It's awesome.
All right, so let me get started. This world news is we have spent time, guys, it's been away.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. All right. So I love that we're back on St. Patrick's Day. Why is it important to us?
Well, my grandma's name is Patricia. So every time, because she was super Irish, I always think Patrick, like Patricia.
Like, she's so Irish, she's literally named after St. Patrick.
My grandma is so Irish. Like, it's like all we grew up with on this side of the family was like, Irish.
Well, her eyes were green, but everything was green. Green, green, green.
Yes.
Her car was green.
No, seriously, for real. Like, sparkly
Buick
green.
With Sabre.
It was a great
sparkling
lemon.
Emily, yeah, that car was horrible.
But it goes, our heritage. It's like my grandma just instilled this in us, but also because St. Patrick gets a bad rap sometimes.
No, I'm going to do the whole St. Patrick thing, but for us.
Just because of my grandma.
Well, we also bought our house.
Oh, yeah. So this shirt that I'm wearing, I don't know where yours is. I bought this shirt at Walmart 14 years ago. It looks pretty good for a 14-year-old shirt because I only wear it once a year. On March 17th, 2010, and we bought this house. We went through two years of hell with our family.
Tyranny with family members.
We shrugged off tyranny. We purchased a house we weren't supposed to have to purchase.
Mom and Michelle and I went on a remodeling
Yeah.
Spree, and we learned.
But we bought it literally on St. Patrick's Day, which was amazing.
And it was like saying goodbye to
in 2010
other world of evil.
Yeah, it was. It's all
awesome. Right. Okay, so St. Patrick, I have the coolest meme. St. Patrick has this prayer.
Can I pull up your tabs yet?
Yeah, they're ready to go.
Okay.
And if you guys don't know who St. Patrick is, you need to know. William Federer, you guys know, is one of our favorite Christian heritage historians. And he doesn't do just American history. He does world history.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Through a Christian lens.
He's the best.
And he starts always kind of at some sort of beginning spot that's never where you expect. So we're going to go back to 220 AD.
Your tabs, dude.
That is because I'm in the Brave browser. Shoot. How do I have to open them all up in Google? I downloaded the Brave browser so I wouldn't be followed. Not exactly sure what to do.
I am not exactly sure what to do. I can.
What can you do? You can't do anything. Oh. I'd have to just like one by one bring them up over here. I was thinking I like this Brave browser thing. It doesn't have as much ads. I just did that this week.
I mean, I can pull up if you want to keep talking. I can see I've got one now so far.
If I want to keep talking,
you can do the thing and all. I don't even know.
It's fine. We got these. Oops, shoot. That's not what I meant to do. I'm going to grab these two.
We got St. Patrick's here.
All right. So I'm going to grab these two. And while I'm going over those, I'll bring up the rest of it. It's not going to be a problem.
Oh, my gosh.
And God, no, don't sweat it, man. We've been through life and death. I ain't sweating nothing. Ain't nothing a big deal.
That's
my mom's
pretty good.
Alive.
And well.
And breathing.
And whatever Matt is eating smells really good.
Mm.
Why is he doing that to me?
I don't know.
I'm going to switch. Oh, my gosh. Colin cut his hair.
I know.
Calvin.
You didn't see that? It's been a couple weeks. All right. In AD 220, the later Eastern Han Dynasty extended sections of the Great Wall of China along the Mongolian border. This made it hard for the Huns to attack China, so they turned westward, attacking and displacing tribes throughout Central Asia. We're going to get to a point here. This all leads to St. Patrick. These tribes migrated further west, overrunning the western borders of the Roman Empire. The Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, the Franks, the Anglos, the Saxons, the Alemanni, the Thuringians, the Rugians, the Jutes, the Picts, the Burgundians, the Lombards, the Alans, and the Vandals. I'm pretty sure that they rob things.
Leah.
Maybe! Rome had to withdraw its legions from other areas of the empire, such as the frontiers of Britain, in order to place them along the Roman border. This left Britain, which had been a Roman territory since the time of Julius Caesar, unprotected. Marauding bands and lawless mobs raided Britain's unprotected Roman settlements and carried away thousands to sell into slavery in Ireland. Ireland was ruled by the bloodthirsty, superstitious pagan Druids. I know some of you think that they're great, but come on, you know they were not awesome. Well, so I know I'm going to get letters. Thomas Cahill wrote in How the Irish Saved Civilization, Romans, in their first encounters with these exposed, insane warriors, were shocked and frightened. They were howling and it seemed possessed by demons.
Oh my gosh.
So outrageous was their strength, featuring all the terrors of hell itself. The Druids, from whom Halloween originated, believed that the trees and the hills were inhabited by good and evil spirits, which constantly needed to be appeased. Druids sacrificed prisoners of war to the war gods and newborns to the harvest gods.
Oh, wow.
Guys, the whole Druid thing's not so good,
right? Not okay.
Believing that the human head was the seat of the soul, they displayed proudly the heads of their enemies in their temples and on their palisades. They even hung them from their belts as ornaments.
Oh, my gosh.
Used them as footballs and victory celebrations, and were fond of employing skull tops as ceremonial drinking bowls.
Dear Lord.
They also sculpted heads, both shrunken and decapitated heads. I don't know if we want to invite them over for dinner or not. You might
no,
be
thank
dinner.
You.
Patrick's British name at birth was Suket, but his Latin name was Patricius, meaning nobleman. My grandma.
Patricius.
My grandma, it means nobleman. Around 405 AD, at the age of 16, while working on his father's farm near the sea, 50 longboats filled with raiders weaved their way towards the shore. Mary Cagney, author of the article Patrick the Saint, wrote, With no Roman army to protect them, Roman legions had long since deserted Britain to protect Rome from the barbarian invasions. Patricius and his town were unprepared for attack. The Irish warriors, wearing helmets and armed with spears, descended on the pebble beach. The braying war horn struck terror into Patricius' heart, and he started to run towards town. The warriors quickly demolished the village, and as Patricius darted among the burning houses and screaming women, he was caught. The barbarians dragged him aboard a boat and bound for east coast of Ireland. For 6 years, Patrick herded animals for a druid chieftain. He wrote in his life story called The Confession of St. Patrick. But after I came to Ireland, every day I had to tend sheep, and many times a day I prayed. The love of God and his fear came to me more and more, and my faith was strengthened. And my spirit was moved so that in a single day I would say as many as 100 prayers and almost as many in the night. And this even when I was staying in the woods and on the mountains, and I used to get up for prayer before daylight, through snow, through frost, through rain. There the Lord opened the sense of my unbelief, that I might at last remember my sins and be converted with all my heart to the Lord my God, who comforted me as a father his son. Then Patrick had a dream, and as he wrote, one night I heard in my sleep a voice saying to me, it is well that you fast, soon you will go to your own country. And again a voice saying to me, see, your ship is ready. And it was not near, but at a distance of perhaps 200 miles. Then I took flight. I went in the strength of God who directed me my way until I came to that ship. Patrick eventually made his way back to Britain and was reunited with what was left of his family. And then when he was about 40 years old, he had another dream calling him back to Ireland as a missionary. In his book, Confession, now remember, this is 1,500 years ago, okay? He writes this. In the depth of the night, I saw a man named Victorious coming as if from Ireland with innumerable letters, and he gave me one. And while I was reading, and I thought I heard a voice of those near the Western Sea call out, please, holy boy, come and walk among us. Their cry pierced my heart, and I could read no more, and so I awoke. Patrick returned to Ireland. He confronted the Druids, converted the chieftains, and used the three-loaf clover to teach the Trinity. The Druids tried to ambush and kill Patrick nearly a dozen times. Daily I expect murder, fraud, or captivity, but I fear none of these things because of the promises of heaven. The merciful God often freed me from slavery and from 12 dangers in which my life was at stake, not to mention innumerable plots. God is my witness who knows all things even before they come to pass, and he has used to forewarn me even of many things by a divine message. He had the gift of prophecy. I came to the people of Ireland to preach the gospel and to suffer insult from the unbelievers. I am prepared to give even my life without hesitation and most gladly for his name, and it is there that I wish to spend it till I die. The Encyclopedia Britannica stated that Patrick challenged royal authority by lightning the paschal fire on the hill slain on the night of Easter's Eve. It chanced to be the occasion of a pagan festival at the Tara, during which no fire might be kindled until the royal fire had been lit. As Patrick's fire on the hill of slain illuminated the countryside, King Lorgnere, King Leary, is said to have exclaimed, if we do not extinguish this flame, it shall sweep over Ireland! Mary Cagney, in Patrick the Saint, Christianity Today, says, predictively, Patrick faced the most opposition from the Druids who practiced magic and advised Irish kings. Biographies of the saint are replete with stories of Druids who wished to kill Holy Patrick. One biographer from the late 600s, Murrachu, described Patrick challenging Druids to contest at Tara. The custom was that whoever lit a fire before the king on that night of the year, Easter's Eve, would be put to death. Patrick lit the paschal fire before the king on the hill of slain. The people saw Patrick's fire throughout the plain, and the king ordered 27 chariots to go and seize Patrick. Seeing that the impious heathen were about to attack him, Patrick rose and said clearly and loudly, may God come upon to scatter his enemies, and may those who hate him flee from his face. By this disaster, caused by Patrick's curse in the king's presence because of the king's order, 7 times 7 men fell. The king, driven by fear, came and bent his knees before the holy man. Many miraculous acts were attributed to St. Patrick. The life of the acts of St. Patrick were compiled by a 12th century Cistercian monk of Furs named Jocelyn. A popular translation was done by Edmund L. Swift in Dublin in 1809 with elucidations of David Roth, Bishop of Ossory. Chapter 68, of his journey and of his manifold miracles. Chapter 69, the sick man cured. Chapter 71, the dead are raised up and the king of the people are converted. Chapter 78, 19 men are raised by St. Patrick from the dead. Chapter 80, King Achu is raised from death. Chapter 81, a man of gigantic stature is revealed, revived from death. And I'm going to move over. So my buddy, Mr. Matty, this chair here, I'm coming over here. You take my spot if you're coming. You don't have to come right now. I'm going to do this. Here I go. Ooh, this is really exciting for me, by the way. I could probably bring up the... Whoa. This is all that. I've got this one, and I got this one. All right. You guys can read along with me. Let me screen share.
I put Matt's earbuds on my mic.
On your mic. Got you. Okay. I'm screen sharing. All right. So we're going to scroll down here, as you guys can see. This is a great article. I absolutely love William Federer. He's so awesome. So you guys can read some of these titles with me. Chapter 81, a man of gigantic stature is revived from death. Chapter 82, another man who was buried and raised again. Chapter 83, the boy who was torn in pieces by swine and restored to life. Wow. Wow. So in his 30 years of ministry, St. Patrick is credited with baptizing 120,000 people and founding 300 churches. Despite his great achievements, Patrick struggled with an inferiority complex. In his confession, Patrick wrote, "I long had it in mind to write, but up till now I have hesitated. I was afraid lest I should fall under the judgment of men's tongues because I am not as well read as others. As a youth, nay, almost as a boy, not able to speak, I was taken captive. Hence today I blush and fear exceedingly to reveal my lack of education, for I am unable to tell my story to those versed in the art of concise writing, in such a way, I mean, as my spirit and my mind long to. And so that the sense of my words expresses what I feel." In his letter to Corosius, he wrote, "I, Patrick, a sinner, very badly educated." Corosius was a tyrant king in Britain who carried off some of Patrick's converts into slavery. "You prefer to sell them to foreign nation that has no knowledge of God? You portray the members of Christ, as it were, into a brothel. Ravenous wolves have gulped down the Lord's own flock, which was flourishing in Ireland, and the whole church cries out and laments for its sons and daughters." Patrick was one of the first major religious leaders to speak out strongly against slavery, having himself been a victim. He is considered one of the first abolitionists as he condemned the deeds of Corosius, calling them wicked, so horrible, unutterable, sorry, my eyes, and exhorted him to repent and free the converts. When the Irish converted to Christianity, they abandoned their pagan Druid laws, which Patrick replaced with Bible-based Latin-Irish laws. Leslie Hurtig wrote in the Celtic Church in Britain, "Wherever Patrick went and established a church, he left an old Celtic law book," interesting, "along with the books of the gospel. This was called the Ascensus More, or the Code of Patrick. On March 17th, around 461, he died. The Liber Hymnorum, a collection of hymns from ancient manuscripts in Dunland, gives the account. St. Patrick sang this when an ambush was laid against his coming by King Logunair, that he might not go to Tara to sow the faith. And then it appeared before those lying in ambush that they, St. Patrick and his monks, were wild deer and a fawn following them. The song is called the Larisha, which is the shield and the breastplate, referred to the deer's cry. And don't you know, I have it here."
"I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through the strength of the love of cherubim, in the obedience of angels, in the service of archangels, in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in the predictions of prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in the faith of confessors, in the innocence of holy virgins, in the deeds of righteous men. I arise today through the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depth of the sea, the stability of the earth, the firmness of rock. I arise today
through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from snares of devils, from temptation of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill afar and near. I summon
am
today.
I'm hitting screen share. Can you hear it? Keep going.
Your video's gone.
My video's gone? Well, no, my video's gone. It says screen share. Is there?
You're not right here.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, but I don't need to be there.
But I want you there.
He's having trouble with his earbuds. I don't know if they reach around. I don't need to be here.
What are you doing? Is it over?
Oh, no, it's not.
Then what are you doing?
I don't know. You I don't know.
All these powers between me and those evils, against every cruel and merciless power that may oppose my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against craft of idolatry, against spells of witches and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul, Christ, to shield me today. Against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that there may come to me an abundance of reward. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today.
Oh my gosh. I heard that and I just could not believe how powerful it was. So that is the St. Patrick prayer. And it just blew my mind when I listened to that. I saw it yesterday. Somebody posted it. And it absolutely blew my mind. And I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on St. Patrick, Matt?
Well, it just reminds me of an awesome video. I think it's on St. Patrick by Dr. Marshall Foster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on YouTube. Of course, you know, I did a brief search just now, and I didn't see it on there.
Of course, yeah.
So I don't know what happened to it, but...
But do you have any thoughts on St. Patrick?
Well, it's just powerful. It's sort of like the Moravian revival people like selling themselves into slavery to get the slave owners and the slaves saved. And it's sort of the same thing where, you know, he had to go to Ireland and then he escaped, you know, and he's set free. And then on his own, he felt led by God to go back over there.
Well, I think that really some people say that St. Patrick's Day is like a made-up American holiday, but I think it's a holiday for all of us and a holiday, obviously, for all Christians.
It's probably just your perspective. It's sort of like with Christmas, because you have the Hebrew roots people that are like, well, you know, Christmas, it wasn't really when Christ was born and put you know, physically as a man onto this earth. The virgin birth and stuff, so that it's like some people, they get just splitting hairs and saying, well, you know, Christmas isn't Christian.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where St. Patrick's Day, it can't be misconstrued, because the whole idea, I know a lot of people say with Easter or Christmas, oh, there's a pagan roots. No, St. Patrick's Day is literally a day that people are supposed to celebrate the ending of pagan roots. He went in, you know, and this is why we say Christianity is so important.
And they could have easily just said it was, you know, end times or whatever. But, you know, he had a vision from God that, hey, you know, these people can be saved. You know, hey, they don't have the truth yet. You know, you just put the truth out there.
So when they say, when we talk about the gospel going west, and we talk about Western civilization, we're talking about Christianity, we're talking about Christ taking former people who were, you know, back in the Old Testament, you see people were blood sacrificing children. You see it in South America. You see it all over the world where before, without Jesus, they're sacrificing people. They have a lot of death. It's like the obsession with skulls and, you know, even cannibalism, craziness.
Yeah, and again, like some people, they might think it's a little weird in Plymouth to see all the tombstones, their burial markers with skulls on them. But, you know, to them, they weren't like worshiping the skulls and stuff. They were emphasizing to people sort of like, hey, you know, like today you're caught up in money and sports and all the things of this world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all the flashing lights and it's so intoxicating.
Right.
But, you know, you're going to be down here on the ground too pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yeah.
I forget, there's a grave in Kansas that I saw at one point. And it's like, hey, you know, I was once where you were standing, like, above the ground. And pretty soon you're going to be buried down here where I am, sort of a thing. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. No, I get it.
But, yeah, there's so many stories. And you can read the biographies, obviously, or listen to the audiobook of Christians that were just traveling around the world to witness to, like, cannibals. And, you know, and the first people to reach these areas, some of them were eaten, but then, you know, whole tribes end up getting saved afterwards.
The first people to arrive were eaten. Now, we're actually going to talk about cannibalism today. That's actually happening right now. Matt, have you paid attention to anything going on in Haiti?
I just saw something on a Christian missionary, and like some people were telling them not to go down there because, you know, the people were giving him prophecies saying, oh, you know, if you go to Haiti, you're going to get killed or something. But
so this
it's pretty bad with all the
this month,
lawless society. And
this month, the gangs, a cannibalistic gang, like known to eat people. They were pulling legs, human legs out of a fire on video and eating them. You're going to thank me because I'm not going to play them.
Clips that I saw,
did you watch them? Did you watch them eating the leg?
I didn't see that. I saw clips by, you know, various like Christians that have gone to Haiti. But the clips that I saw, they were basically, you know, going around on little moped, motorcycle type thing, like putting around. But there are areas that it literally look like one of those clips after a nuclear bomb went off. Like in Japan after World War II or something, like buildings just crumbled out and people like drinking this muddy water out of any old mud puddle they could find. I mean, it was pretty bad.
It's so bad. I was actually I was reading about this several months ago, where the Dominican Republic and Haiti are one island, right? And the contrast between the Haitians and the Dominican Republic are night and day. So much so that they have a closed border that they don't want Haitians in their country. And why is that? Tim Ballard did a lot of his sex trafficking rescues in Haiti. And there's a lot of sex trafficking that goes on down in Haiti.
Well, it's easy to see that stuff would go on because it's really chaotic.
We know the Clintons are tied. We know that big names are tied to Haiti. Why this one country where it's like one of the poorest countries in the world?
Well, some of the sort of red pill type people, they call themselves anarchists. Well, you have to be careful what you ask for because that's just looks like a lawless, just complete anarchy, chaos.
There's society. No such thing as anarchy. There's no such thing as anarchy because somebody is going to be in control.
Yes.
You're going to have Mad Max. There's no such thing as anarchy. It's just like with Animal Farm. You're always going to have somebody in power and in control.
Yeah, whether it's pigs, chickens, dogs, whatever, you're going to have that top dog.
Right.
That's in control and the other ones kind of have to follow along.
Yeah. So I'm still bringing up some of these tabs, and while I'm doing that, I'm actually going to go ahead and we're going to talk about Haiti today because it is so bad. What is happening in Haiti, the cannibalism, it comes out of the fact that they are quote unquote Christian, but they're not Christian. They practice witchcraft and voodoo. Okay, the demonic presence. This is a spiritual warfare, and that's good news. You know why it's good news? Because when the devil comes at you with a pitchfork and pointy ears, then you know what to do. In a lot of countries, like, well, how do we overthrow Macron? Like, how do we overthrow the European Union? It's a very simple answer to how to fix Haiti, because it's so demonically possessed. It's so demonically. And what's horrible about these headlines. So when I put in Haiti cannibalism, what you're going to see is NBC News has an article. Watch this. I'm going to show you guys this. I'm going to screen share. So legit cannibals have taken over. Oh, that's not what I want. Let's see. Michelle, I just see the history. My page that I'm trying to share isn't there. Did I do something wrong? That's just my history. Sorry, guys. She can't hear me. She's not listening to my show. I'm here. So I opened up my tabs, but I'm not screen sharing on the right screen.
Wait.
Okay.
So this is the screen share I like. This is the one I was using.
That's the one I was at.
That's right. And then right click and then pick the window you want. Is it cannibals?
Yeah.
What we're looking at?
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay. I really am not a technology person. Elon Musk and right-wing influencers use cannibal claims to smear Haitian migrants amid crisis. Excuse me. Watch this. So when I go to Twitter and I put in Haiti, we're gonna do this together. Haiti cannibals eating video. I don't really want to play it. Okay, I'm not going to play it. Welcome to Haiti, where cannibals have started eating people. Oh, that's just California right now. Let's see here.
Getting extremely dark going on in Haiti right now. And if you haven't heard about it, it's probably because not many people want to cover this because of how disturbing it is, and we just don't have much information yet. But there is a cannibalistic gang running around Haiti, literally eating people. Now, I advise you to not look up any pictures or any videos because it is sickening, but the prime minister has fled, and the leader of this gang, he goes by Barbecue, which is absolutely wild. But this man is rocking a Freemason chain and a Freemason ring. It's just odd. But he said if this prime minister doesn't step down, that they can expect a full-on genocide and a civil war. And they're also calling out other countries, and things are escalating very quickly.
This is absolutely crazy. You can see there's a... So he calls himself Barbecue, and they really do eat people. And it's... And then we're the far right extremists, okay? We are the far right extremists. Here is why is the U.S. constantly meddling in Haiti, supposedly the poorest country? I don't know. There's a lot of U.S. companies in Haiti. All right, so I'm going to go back to the main. I'm going to get to a couple articles here on Haiti. Because I don't think that we've done a couple shows on Haiti, and I think at one point we actually had... There was a really wonderful Christian woman who was... There's a lot of Christians in Haiti who are trying to get their government back, but they really are struggling under this demonic power. So I'm going to bring up... See what... All right. So American... See. U.S. urgently deploys counter-terror Marines. Hannibal Run. Man, there's a lot going on here. Let's see. All right. So American policies only make Haiti worse. Since the end of the Cold War, the U.S. has overthrown Haiti's government three times. Three times. In 1991, to remove President Jean-Bertrand Aristide from power. In 1994, to put Aristide back in. In 2004, to remove Jean-Bertrand Aristide again, followed by an invasion of Marines. This, followed by a 15-year United Nations occupation of the country. 20,000 American troops would bolster that occupation after the 2011 earthquake. The multinational occupation of the country introduced novel diseases, both biological and social. The country saw its first ever outbreak of cholera in 2010, resulting in the deaths of thousands. Between 1990 and 2010, Haitian elections, when they occurred, were characterized by uneventful transfers of power between the same two people. And then now we're back in Haiti, and things are going crazy. We got these gangs have overtaken the country. And the U.S. has urgently deployed these elite counter-terror Marines to Haiti to protect Americans. The Pentagon has confirmed it is urgently deploying an elite counter-terror task force to bolster the American embassy in Haiti after armed gangs have taken over much of the capital of Port-au-Prince, and the long simmering situation is now boiling over, with violence spreading also in the wake of embattled Haitian Prime Minister's resignation on Tuesday. Why? Why did he resign? Because the gangs have literally taken over. They've literally taken over, and these are cannibal gangs. So let's go over here. Hang on. Let's get. So I want to hear what your thoughts are of what's going on in Haiti, and if you think that the U.S. has something should the U.S. do something? We've got our buddy over here, Ron DeSantis, you know, he's worried. He's got Florida. They get on a boat. They're coming to Florida.
A vessel that had 25 illegal immigrants, potential illegal immigrants from Haiti. They had firearms. They had drugs.
Wow.
They had night vision gear. And those illegal aliens were turned over to the Coast Guard
for wow.
deportation.
Our next guest has been helping kids in Haiti for decades and knows firsthand the threat these gangs pose to their and our homeland. Evangelist Jack Brewer joins us now.
Mm.
Jack, it's great to see you this morning. Let's start with some of your personal experience in Haiti. You know, this is a particularly rough moment, but Haiti seems to go in five-year cycles of chaos and violence and never achieving some level of stability for their society.
Yeah, sadly, you know, since the earthquake, the horrific earthquake in 2010 that took over 300,000 people, you know, Haiti had an opportunity to be rebuilt, but that just, you know, went away by the wayside by corruption. Unfortunately, there was just so much money that was misappropriated, you know, starting with the Clintons and assigning them to oversee Haiti. And it's just it's been a decline ever since. I tell you what, it's a sad thing to see and watch. You're talking about millions of people. There's about 4 million people right now, will be starving in the next week or two.
Wow. If we 4 million starving people.
I mean, this is going to be one of the worst humanitarian crises to ever hit the Western Hemisphere.
So help me understand really quickly, Jack, because I think in order to understand what could potentially be literally washing ashore in America, we first have to understand what's happening in Haiti. So help me understand the level of criminality, gang rule. I mean, we know a little more about what it's like today. We hear about, you know, Barbecue, the main gang leader running the streets of Haiti. But what are the role gangs have played, and what's it like in Haiti on an ongoing basis?
So just take out your perspective or understanding of what a gang member is and throw that away.
Okay.
These folks are now ruling the society. And so you talk about whether it's their local government, even all the way up to their national government. You know, the UN did a report, and 28 of the 30 senators in Haiti all had gang-related ties and drug dealing. And so when you start thinking about it, these gangs are controlling the politicians. They're controlling the streets. They've already taken over the ports, even the main port in Port-au-Prince. Right now, as we speak, the local law enforcement officers are battling with the gangs for control of the main port
wow.
into the country. So if you wow. can imagine, all the tax money and revenue, everything's pay to play. I have about 120 orphans right now up in Kent's Cough. I don't know what I'm going to do. We're trying to get them food. We can't get them food, Will, because the gangs are there. And so the streets are controlled by them. And so they literally put up roadblocks, whether it's tires. They burn things and cut off, put big boulders in the middle of the streets to cut off people as they're trying to move food and what have you. And so, as you can imagine, if you can't get the food, you can't get the resources. Now, both of the major international airports, both in Port-au-Prince and in Cape Haitian, now are not receiving flights. The U.S. government has just announced that they're going to try to do a flight to evacuate Americans, but they don't know the date on that because they're shooting at planes and they're, you know, you have, you know, really army level military grade weapons being used on the ground in Haiti. And so this situation is dire. It's real. Right. You heard Governor Ron DeSantis, who's been out front talking about all these Haitian migrants that are not coming to the border. Even in Florida, where I live, you see the Haitian migrants coming across. And so we must do something about this. I know we've been focusing on Ukraine, which is out of our hemisphere, but this one right here hits home. Mm-hmm. And we must do more to figure out this situation in Haiti.
You know, Jack, one of the first things I saw, I was in the Caribbean last week and I was reading a local newspaper, was how one of the first things the gangs did is they broke into the prisons and they freed like 3,000 right. guys from the prisons.
4,000 actually.
4,000 prisoners right. hit the streets. So what I'm curious now, Jack, is what hits our shores? So that Caribbean newspaper, by the way, was like every island is getting ready to lock down their borders and worried about who's going to show up through boats on their shores. What's going to show up on our shores? I mean, will it be the gang members? Will it be refugees? Will it be a massive influx of Haitians? What comes to Florida?
You're gonna have a massive influx of Haitians continuing to come. We already do. I mean, even in the schools in South Florida, I mean, they're being overrun with you know, Haitian Creole speaking kids, and the teachers don't know what to do. But you know, the gang members are also coming here. I can tell you that most of these Haitians have family members or people that they know in the United States. And so where are you going to go? You're going to go to the closest places where you can be around family or friends or people that you know. They can come here. They can speak the language. And so, of course, they're going to come here. A lot of these people are in dire needs. And let me be clear. Some of these gang members have been in gangs purely to survive. I mean, this is a survival right. thing in Haiti. And so,
Michelle. Matt, what do you think is you're a little taller, a little hairier. What do you think the answer is? Is there an answer? Do we just ignore it? Do we just pretend? Do we just care about, well, you know, his question there, Will's question was, well, what happens to America? Is that where our focus should be?
Well, it's in any of these situations that look really dire, really bad. It just kind of reminds me of guys like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Germany and stuff where they really felt led by the Lord to eradicate the evil from within. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, he's an extreme example, wanting to assassinate the leaders of the Nazi party. But that's kind of where it comes down to, is when the kingdom of God is spread, when people are saved, then lives are radically changed. But whenever you remove God from a country or a situation, then we can't be surprised when something like this happens.
There's a corruption from within,
right? Because there's
sort
of like this sense in America, even, like, let's try to remove God from the schools. Let's remove God from anything involved with government. Because, you know, it used to be decades ago, like, even like in front of a county courthouse or something, they'd put up a manger scene and stuff. Mm-hmm. And nowadays they might say, well, you know, you better not put that up.
Well, it seems like in Haiti, there's corruption from within, but there's a lot of corruption from without. So they're dealing with the satanic element, the voodoo element, the witchcraft element, obviously the cannibal element from within. And then from without, where it's an island nation, it has natural resources. There's no reason why they should be poor. They have plenty of natural resources. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful island. They can grow food all year round. There's no reason why people shouldn't be happy and healthy. But I think it goes back to the roots of slavery. A lot of these people were brought over from Africa. These are these African Creole witchcraft voodoo that came over from Africa has not been rooted out.
Well, yeah, sometimes, you know, you can kind of take, well, I'll you know, accept a little bit of Christ, you know, keep a little bit of our traditions and whatever, but
you can't play around with witchcraft. You're dealing with people who are possessed by evil, okay? And so let's just say a prayer. God, I just lift up Haiti to you. I ask you, Father God, for revival. I bind and gag Satan and all the witchcraft and all the demonic powers. We take hold of the spiritual rulers and principalities, and we ask you that you set these people free. Father God, if our heart hurts, then your heart hurts. I ask you to set these children free from sex trafficking, all these orphans. Father God, your word says that you put the fatherless into families. So I pray for these children in Haiti. I ask you, Father God, to put the fatherless in families. I ask you, Father God, those who have been forced into gangs their whole lives, I ask you to set them free. I ask you to show them how to be provided for in your ways. I ask you, Father God, for a revitalization and a sweeping cleanliness that's going to sweep over Haiti right now in Jesus' name, and we declare it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Anything, take authority in the name of Jesus Christ wherever you're at.
Yeah.
And you can pray for them, and there's countless, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the number's so high of the number of angels that are out there, you know, we can't comprehend how many there are available. And if they're waiting for assignments for people to pray that they God would release them to help in Haiti or help wherever else.
Yeah.
We need to call upon God to do that.
Yeah.
And just in the authority of Jesus Christ, say, you know, something involving, you know, the angels that aren't on assignment. That's kind of what we pray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is what we pray. Send them down there to Haiti and to root out the evil in government, and that any people in government that are open to receiving you, Lord, that you would just pour out your grace and mercy and your wisdom upon them. And the ones that aren't open to receiving anything to do with God, that they're just removed out of there, however he sees fit.
Michelle, I need help one more time with my screen share. I opened them up one more time. Sorry, guys. I opened up another screen. I don't know which one it is now.
Just right click.
Right
click what? On the screen in XSplit.
On the screen in XSplit.
Screen share.
Oh, screen share. Sorry, guys. Michelle does these things and I don't do them. So hit screen share.
Screen share. This one's the one I like.
Okay.
And then right click here. Wait for everyone to.
Okay.
And then choose which one you want.
Is this the one I want? This one I want. Okay. I think I will. I can't believe you just showed me that. Okay. My end screen. Okay, we're good. All right. So this is why Matt's here. Matt, you want to talk about the farmer revolts happening in Wales right now?
Well, it's basically similar to wherever you're at out there, that, you know, the governments in La La Land, they're listening to the globalists or however you want to look at it. You know, they're not.
This is Italy.
They're not listening to the people. And, you know, it can only go so far before the people say, hey, you know, we need to be heard here because things are kind of getting a little out of control.
Yeah.
And, you know, they feel like their backs are kind of against the wall because, you know, if the policies that are in place continue, then a lot of them will end up basically going under and losing their farms, losing their livelihoods.
Well, it's everywhere. You'll
have to, like, just be normal this people is in the
Italy.
City.
This is Italy. Food. I mean, these guys, it takes a lot to get a tractor somewhere into the middle of a city, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while. I don't know how fast they go, but you're going to have to travel a ways because you're not going to farm in Central Park in New York, that sort of a thing. I mean, they're going to be out of the city away.
This is all due to the green agenda. They want us to eating bugs. I mean, look at these Italian farmers in this convoy.
Yeah, they kind of...
They're not just making things up. This is a real deal.
Well, it's sort of like in England, I guess now they're allowed to kill some of the pests, some of the animals out there that... Wild animals that are in the pastures and whatnot that spread diseases.
Uh-huh. But, nuisance animals.
Yeah, and I guess in Wales they're not allowed to. So then, you know, they're kind of stuck with this whole thing with the TB testing.
Oh, they've got the TB testing. Yeah, that's in Wales. Yeah.
And then they, you know, people are losing their minds over it because it's very stressful. Because if they find that in your herd, then they're just going to cull off however many animals, and it's not just...
I didn't know that. So there's... They could... The farmers just want to be killing some of these wild animals, but they're not allowed to, and the wild animals are spreading TB. My mind.
It's not like a weasel or fox. It's something like that.
Okay, like a ferret or something? No?
No, but, you know, you might be able to make a little money on the side raising ferrets.
I don't know. So there's some nuisance, like, the possums are clean animals, aren't they?
Yeah, it was something else.
Like a weasel.
Yeah, it's just silly. I can't think of the name of
it. And they're spreading TB, and they want to be able to get rid of them because of that they don't get TB on their farm. Because
I guess in England, they recently, within the last year or two, they changed it so they could start eradicating them, and the TB numbers are just radically down.
Interesting. Well, this I saw,
it's not just losing the animal. Like, oh, you can just go out and find a new animal because, whole herd, right? Like they said, you have to get the other animal from somewhere else.
Right.
So it's like, you know, the person that you're getting them from, he says that, oh, we have good animals, but what if you're bringing in TB when you bring in new animals, and you have to quarantine?
It's just a hassle. It's a hassle.
You're losing the milk that's being produced if it's a dairy situation by the removal of the animal, and then you get a new animal that's younger, so then you have to wait for them to mature and get older.
And this is in addition to the 20% land seizure. That's their big pro. That's what put them over the 20% land seizure of each farm.
Yeah, where it's just kind of insanity, where there's areas, like they said, that just aren't conducive to having trees. It just doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. Like near the coastline, where they're just going to get bombarded by massive amounts of salt and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying, why should we have to plant trees here?
Right, right. Well, I've got a video here. Maybe you want to do a little commentary on these wellies. They call them wellies. They put like a thousand. These are all these people's work boots, and this is their protest.
Yeah, and it's kind of representing all these people that, you know, kind of go unseen a lot. Because they're just in the country in the middle of nowhere somewhere trying to raise animals. And
it's a wet nation. It's a wet nation, so everybody has to have. We wear bogs. They wear the wellies, the Wellington things to keep your... Got to keep your feet dry, right? They're actually protesting. These farmers are protesting in Poland. And...
This became kind of a global thing.
Yeah. Because every nation is signing on to the climate agenda.
It's not just like France or Canada or
Polish police are now beating protesters. So this is one of the first, you know, I've seen in France they've gotten violent. In Poland they've gotten this one went out of hand. I think this was last week. I wanted to show you guys. But again, as part of it all goes back to the European Union. I wouldn't even say it's the Polish government itself. It's the European Union causing these rules. I wanted to bring this up. So speaking of Poland, next door neighbors with Hungary, I love this 12 points of Hungarian families. This is from Budapest, the Budapest Democrat Summit. So in the midst of craziness going on, there are some leaders like Viktor Orban who are holding the line. Parents have the right, responsibility, and duty to raise their children. In America, that they think that the kids are owned by the state.
Well, it sort of goes, I mean, who knows how far back you want to take it, but wasn't it in the 90s that Hillary Clinton was saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm. Those born as girls should be allowed to grow up as girls and boys as boys. You shouldn't have to say that.
And they kind of imply that, hey, you as, you know, the parents... You know, you're too stupid. You don't know anything. So you have to let the teachers and the government raise your child because you're completely incompetent.
Look at a couple of these. I love this. This is from the government. Let pro-family policies be a national common denominator. Hungary should not give its consent to anti-family decisions. Security for families. Like, this is a really big deal. Let those who have children be no worse off than those who voluntarily decide not to have them. Let us remove the financial obstacles to the birth of the children their parents desire to have. Appreciation for the elderly. Real freedom of choice for women. No mother should have to give up children because of work or work because of having children. Let us protect the security of our own home. Let us help young people to homeownership, competitive public education, and vocational training and higher education. For us, every Hungarian child is a gift. And wherever they are born, in the motherland or beyond our borders, let him or her be Hungarian. Isn't that cool?
Yep.
If every country adopted that, honor the elderly. Truth. Yeah. Let me see. We'll come back to Ireland here in a second. All right. So here, this video was deleted back to Haiti. I had tweeted this out. This is very interesting. Now, what's interesting about this tweet is that this is Nayib Bukele, who is the president of El Salvador. He's tweeting this out. Now, he took care of the satanic element and the gangs in his country. Like, so if anybody's an expert on taking care of gangs in a country, it's this guy. So he tweets out the breaking news. Here is a disturbing footage, and they've taken it down because the dudes were eating legs from a fire. Here is disturbing footage of the Haitian cannibal gang eating body parts of one of their victims as he cooks it in the fire. The Haiti cannibal gang leader is named Barbecue, and he is now the most powerful man in Haiti as their prime minister, Ariel Henry, fled. Now, Nayib Bukele says this, Nayib, we saw similar images in El Salvador a few years ago. Gangs bathing with the skulls of their victims. All the experts said they couldn't be defeated because they were an intrinsic part of society. They were wrong. We obliterated them. The same must be done to Haiti. Put this guy in charge. Put this guy in charge. This is something that we didn't know about. So this MS-13, and we hear about these gangs and all their tattoos, it is satanic. It's witchcraft. He literally says...
And if Trump's MAGA, like some of these people, it seems like they're willing to take it the next step further and go ultra MAGA.
Ultra MAGA! Trump is literally, he plays patty cake. These guys come to play.
Yeah, and I don't know like where all these people stand in their walk with God, but it's Christian principles. It's
Christian principles. Point. They eradicated these guys, these gangs. He said, we had this just a few years ago. Gangs bathing with the skulls of their victims. Who does that? That's insanity. That's like a Nightmare on Elm Street. Every single horror movie wrapped in one. That's the kind of stuff that you make up that you don't think actually happens.
And they kind of have us... You know, around the world following these Hollywood movies where instead of just following Jesus Christ, it's like they come up with all these bizarre scenarios of some sort of like crazy situation where there's some sort of virus released.
I know.
Or, you know, there's some sort of nuclear war or whatever the case might be. And then, you know, people are doing all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of desensitizing people to it.
So let me show you again what I was talking about the kind of the censorship. So... Joel Berry, I think he runs Babylon Bee he says, I spoke with a Haitian orphanage director a couple months ago, and I can assure you the things you've heard about Haiti are not only true, they're 10 times worse than what you've heard. I can't even repeat the horrors that were described to me. And then NBC News, they tweet out, Elon Musk and conservative influencers have spread unverified claims to millions, smearing Haitian migrants as cannibals as they endure deep uncertainty about the future. And I am not talking about Haitian migrants. I'm talking about what's happening in Haiti right now. This guy says he calls himself Barbecue. He posts pictures of himself eating humans. And NBC says, this is gaslighting. Well, this is the rewriting of history.
Early 1900s. This isn't like a time period. For all the bad stuff that came with technology and the internet, we're not at a point where we're just completely out of it. Just living in the middle of nowhere.
Why would they lie?
You just assume that the news is going to put out news and not just be complete fake.
Why are
news.
They lying? Do you think that NBC and that some of those people are doing sex trafficking and stuff in Haiti?
Well, it's just like...
They've got to be.
Operation Mockingbird, where it's like the government says, you will say what our agenda is. You have to promote our talking points.
I bet they want the instability and that they want the trafficking. That's what I guess. All right, so we're going to run to this story over here.
It wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure that's part of it, too.
So you're not going to...
Probably all the above.
You're not going to believe this, Matt. Maybe you will. Of course you will. In Canada, police advise homeowners to leave their car keychains outside so that armed thieves can steal their cars more easily without confronting the owners.
There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns, they're real guns. They're loaded.
That's why Galinsky says they will be installing the door stops and taking YPR's advice seriously. But she'd like more action from police as well. There's also...
Well, I'm sure that's...
That cannot be real. That cannot be real. The police cannot say, leave your keys at the front door because all they want is your car. How do you know all they want is your car? What, are you supposed to leave your house unlocked too?
Yeah, that's a big assumption. And, you know, that's why...
They just leave your keys there so that you don't get hurt.
Yeah, and that's why around here, we have the Second Amendment.
Second Amendment, baby! So everybody's armed. You come steal my car... Goodbye, you're meeting Jesus. And yep. That's how you stop it. You arm every single Canadian, you give them the right to stand your ground, and I guarantee you not one car will be broken into again. Listen, you coming into my house, it's it.
Well, yeah, it's a situation where back in the day, you have the Founding Fathers, or you have some sort of Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone type guy. Yeah, maybe they left the door unlocked, but hey, come on in.
I can't believe this.
Try something, you know. They're going to take him out.
Trudeau's Canada will imprison anyone it thinks might commit a hate crime, could punish them with life sentences. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Justin Trudeau's far-left Canadian government is planning on putting anyone they suspect might commit a crime in prison. The Daily Telegraph reports that the draconian policy will form part of Trudeau's regime's online harms bill, designed to crack down on any opposition to the anti-progressive agenda. One of the measures within the bill would give judges the power to place individuals under house arrest and force them to wear an electronic tag if they believe that individual could commit a hate crime in the future. Although the bill does not include a clampdown on issues such as child pornography, much of its language revolves around battling so-called hate speech. The country's justice minister, Arif Varini, declared the legislation could play a very important role in preventing criticism of minorities. If there's a genuine fear of an escalation, then an individual group could come forward and seek a peace bond against them and prevent them from doing such things. That would help to de-radicalize people who are learning things online. What's really critical is that it gives the judge a wonderful range of sentences. This is not a mandatory minimum or life sentences. Under the measures proposed by Bill C-63, which was first unveiled last month, those found guilty of such crimes could face life sentences in prison. And you know that if you start to criticize immigration or lockdowns, then they could arrest you even though you have not committed a crime.
And again, years ago, they came up with, what was it, that Tom Cruise movie or something where it was
the orchestration
something
as well,
involving like the Future Crime Division where it's like, hey, some sort of AI thinks that in the future, XYZ might happen. So
I want to go over here
but it's similar to what they do in the UK.
Speaking of the UK, speaking of racism, Barry sent me this. This guy talks about Christianity and orchestrated racism.
A white Christian male that loves his country. Oh, he's probably a racist. He's probably a racist. I mean, all we hear that is black and white, black and this, black this, white this, racist this. You know, it's all you hear on the radios, the TVs, the newspapers. It's all orchestrated to keep us all apart, to stop us from uniting, stop us being. You know, when I was growing up, if you were black, you were brown, you were white. It was just all the same. Like, I don't understand. We've now been orchestrated to all suddenly fight against each other, and to be honest, it's worked, and it's a real shame. When this generation of hard Christians from within the English communities within Great Britain, once they pass, it's gonna be very difficult to keep. I mean, all these churches, every town, every village has got a church. There's no one going there. It's very sad, but with the church that I go to. Thriving. People, we go on outreaches where people stand in town and they preach in a way that resonates again with youngsters. Yeah. And we you know, the church and the pastor that I, you know, he gets people in all the time, new people, and they feel that modernization of Christianity, and that's really important.
Okay, you don't know one thing about the gospel for 7 years. Jesus Christ. I was working.
Well, what he's talking about is he's saying that the churches in what he's talking about is that the churches in the UK are dying because they're woke. And okay, we've got, yeah, so he's actually coming from the other side. Okay. He's talking about we need to bring back the gospel. We need to bring back the things that people can get behind and things that can resonate with people. And what has happened is that the Archbishop of Canterbury has gone like they're baptizing, you know, they're sanctioning gay marriages, and the church is no different than the world right now in the UK. And that's something that even Barry said, he wants a Christian country.
Well, yeah, if the world can't see a difference between how they're living and the Christians, then what's the point?
Right. Right. And you've got to have that real relationship, that real connection.
Yeah, it's a real relationship with God. Because you know, a lot of them are going through all kinds of problems and situations in their lives. And, you know, they're like, okay, you say that following Christ is the answer. Then, you know, how is your life better than ours?
Right. I had a video with Calvin Robinson talking about the church. There it is. I love this guy, but he shaved off his fro.
When Christendom became the West, it became secularized. The West has lost faith in Christ. Let us take a moment to look at the state of Christendom. This week alone, we have the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, preaching universalism, and I quote here, "I wish all Muslims peace and joy as they enter this season of Ramadan, a special time of prayer, fasting, and spiritual reflection. I give thanks to the great contribution of Muslims to our society, and for the great hospitality and welcome. I pray that this Ramadan is a time of renewal and that we may continue to strengthen our bonds of friendship and work together for peace and justice." End quote. For the most senior cleric in the Church of England to be preaching on Ramadan in this way is concerning for obvious reasons. It implies that either he does not care for the souls of British Mohammedans, or he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Either way, he renders himself unfit to sit in the chair of St. Augustine. This is not a problem, however, that is restricted to Anglicanism. His Eminence Timothy Cardinal Dolan, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of New York, released a very similar statement in which he said, quote, "Blessings and graces to our Islamic brothers and sisters, because their holy season of Ramadan begins today. They are a good example to us on our Lenten journey," end quote. Excuse me. The video claimed that Ramadan is a lot like their version of Lent, which it is not. And this morning, Cardinal Blaise Kupich, Roman Catholic Archbishop of Chicago, tweeted, "Happy to be at the CIOGC's Muslim-Catholic Iftar in Libertyville tonight with Imam Asfar Uddin and Bishop Mark Bartoszyk to break the daily fast observed by our Muslim brothers and sisters during Ramadan," end quote. Coexist seems to be the message of the day from the Western Church. Forget trying to save souls by leading them to Christ. Pretend that all faiths are the same, all gods the same, and that we all end up in the same place anyway. The oldest heresies are the best after all. This would be an excusable response from someone ignorant of the faith or someone with a poor understanding of theology.
But going even further, a lot of these same bishops, it's not just their embrace of multicultural religions. It's their embrace of the LGBT. It's watering down the gospel. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. There, no man can come to the Father but by me. And particularly the and church in the UK is kind of...
All religions are the same as insanity just because, you know, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And other religions, it's just more of a dead, dry religion where you have no connection with God and you're just going, kind of going through rituals, mm-hmm. and then, well, maybe you'll, you know, if you're good enough, you'll make it to mm-hmm. eternity, whatever they believe that to be.
Yeah.
When you die. Whereas in Christianity, you're supernaturally reborn and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you can walk in an open, active relationship with God right now.
Right. All right. Oh, you guys, I was screen sharing the whole time. That's fine. I want to show you guys. This is what we call commercial break. So this is in, I know this is in England. And I'm not just going to mute it. I was just, this made me so happy today. Barry sent this to me, I think. This is a dog rescue. And they get him and they pull the guy up and they rescue the dog. This one made me happy. See, that's what we call a commercial break. There are still good people in this world. All right, so we're going over here to talk about the electric ambulances in the UK.
It raised serious concerns about patient safety, especially for people living in remote rural.
Here we go. Hang on.
Yeah, I should say so.
Service cares more about net zero than saving lives. People will die, quite literally sacrificed on the altar of the big green agenda. Next month, the NHS is rolling out electric ambulances that cost £150,000 a pop. They have a range of about 100 miles and take 4 hours to charge. Standard ambulances can cover up to 800 miles a day and be filled up in just minutes. What would you prefer? There was a trial done of these ambulances in the West Midlands. It raised serious concerns about patient safety, especially for people living in remote rural areas. But that doesn't matter, does it? To the eco-fanatics, plastic cannulas, simple, effective, and healthier for the patient. No, no, no. They are too plastic. Patients will have to be stabbed with metal ones instead, even if that's physically worse for their health. Women in labour, take your climate-friendly pain relief and stop bloody moaning. Chemotherapy and other treatments will be delivered by electric bike. This is despite the fire service saying it was called to put out an e-bike fire every other day on average in 2023. Sorry, we couldn't get your chemo to you because it's currently on fire in the road, ironically polluting the atmosphere and causing a massive traffic jam. It gets worse. Any business that wants to supply the NHS with anything has to fill out a 135-question booklet and whether or not their product will only be used if it meets the social values and emissions targets of the NHS. I mean, it's remarkable stuff, isn't it? We are presumably just months away from stab victims having their wounds plugged with sustainably sourced moss stitched together using straw and twigs. Why are they doing this? Well, two reasons. Reason number one. They decided in 2020 that the NHS had to be the world's first health service to be carbon neutral. Why? It's a flipping health service, not Greenpeace, is it? Greta Thunberg wasn't going to turn up outside Great Ormond Street and start ranting about the climate emergency. Just Stop Oil weren't going to storm into St. Thomas's Hospital and glue themselves to an MRI scanner. Reason number two. There are apparently 48 staff with a combined salary of £3 million who now work for the Greener NHS team, and their salaries depend on them being seen to be doing something. But here you go. Are you ready? Like all good environmentalists, and we've seen this time and time again with the old Prince Harry Private Jet Brigade, do you think they practice what they preach? NHS England executives spent around £30,000 on domestic flights in 2023, including £440 for a single fare from London to Manchester. They've been flying from London to Manchester. Piss off with your climate-friendly pain relief. Honestly, this is the public sector, taxpayer funding out of £170 billion or so, another £6 billion in the latest budget. Every single aspect of its service now has to go through social and environmental checks. The taxpayer pays the wages of the numpties making these decisions. The taxpayer pays the price if they die as a result of these decisions. And then the taxpayer pays the medical negligence compensation to families of the bereaved. We might as well shut down the NHS, open up a giant incinerator, and pump the country's money into it. All the executives could fly in on private jets and watch the ceremony. In fact, it's easy to forget, we did actually hold a church service to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the NHS. I hope they said a prayer for all the people who are about to get worse care because some cretin on a six-figure salary decided to suck up to Extinction Rebellion. The National Health Service cares that more about net zero than saving epic. Lives.
And
people
I,
will die.
My mom being on oxygen, I can't imagine metal cannulas. The ones that go, you know, like, ow. Like, what? I don't quite get it.
Well, forget about ambulances. Just think about going on vacation. If you're in the middle of nowhere somewhere, mm-hmm. you don't just pull over to the side of the road because you ran out of battery and power and just plug mm-hmm. in somewhere. You're stuck there.
Yeah. All right, let's go back over to the UK farmers for a minute. I got a few more videos on that. Here's a very upset farmer.
We're not taking anymore. There's no one working in KFC today that's being told at 12 o'clock today, you've earned enough today, but you work the rest of the day and we're going to give you no more money. That's what you're doing to us. You're telling us we can milk 80 cows, 60 cows, 40 cows, but we're not giving you any more money. We're cutting your income. Day after day, you're cutting it. It's affecting us all, mentally and every other way, but yet we're the ones that has to go out and work tonight. Take back that message to Dublin. And tell
what do you
them
think?
Enough is enough. We're not taking anymore. There's
yeah, they're just pushing them to the breaking point.
Mm-hmm. They are. They're, you know, they're like, pushing them to the breaking point. I got another video like, here.
Yeah, how many regulations and hoops are you willing to go through?
Mm-hmm.
How much are you willing to pay in taxes?
So they're going to do a big protest on
certifications and mm-hmm. testing and all kinds of stuff.
They're going to do a big protest on the 25th.
We're meeting tomorrow night. Obviously, the end goal has got to be London, but it's getting enough numbers from around the country to all come into London together at the same time.
Wow. You're quite serious about this, then? It's sort of we're heading to the capital. That's a big move.
Well, I think so. I mean, we've got public opinion at the moment is on our side. We feel that the government are listening. We feel that the supermarkets are even listening to a certain degree. It's time to take it forward now.
What do you think? You think they can?
It's just the complete opposite mentality as even during the World War II time. It's like, hey, whoa, we need to be self-sufficient in mm-hmm. whatever country we're in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's German U-boats or Japanese warships
mm-hmm.
out in, you know, the open waters out there. And there's no guarantee that your products from whatever country around the world are going to arrive.
The
ships could all get sunk. You've got to produce your own food and products.
Their dates are backwards. It's not October 3rd. It's March 10th. Just FYI.
Oh. Oh, America should change to that system
think so?
Immediately. Yeah. Day, month, year. It just makes sense. Like, why say mm-hmm. month, day, year? It's like you're switching back and forth.
It's more of the another one on the... All right. So I'm going to... We're going to shift...
And
go ahead.
And in relates to news getting out there about what's going on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Within the last hour or two, Nigel put out a video on his YouTube.
Oh, he did on the farmers?
Well, about how, you know, they're trying to attack him, basically saying that he shouldn't be on air because he's a politician, whereas he says, I'm not in office right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a politician. And they're trying to, I guess, possibly shut down the Great Britain news.
Okay. Well, here we have Andrew Davies. He's the Welsh Conservative leader, and he's in front of the Wellies, speaking up for farmers.
Well, here we are at the Senate today. A week ago, there were many thousands of farmers in front of us. The rain was coming down. Today, a week later, we're here with this significant protest of the Wellingtons that farmers wear in their everyday lives. But this poignancy of message has been organised by NFU Cymru is highlighting that if Welsh Labour enact the policies that people were protesting about last week, there would be 5,500 less farmers working the land in Wales. And each one of these pairs of Wellingtons represents those individuals. So I really hope that the Minister reflects on these policies, changes course, and actually invigorates our agricultural industry and our rural economy to produce the food that we all depend on. Just remember, no farmers, no food.
Yes, no farmers, no food. There could be, Matt, a huge switch in the UK politics. And we're going to skip that a little bit. But
let's look at the
there's another party in the UK. So there's the Tories and they're supposedly the Conservatives. They've been through a lot of leaders. They've had Boris Johnson. They've had Liz Truss. They've got this Rishi Sunak guy who's supposed to probably step down. The Tories under Boris went completely woke. Under Theresa May, they started to sink. And Nigel Farage has always tried to become an MP, but he's been an MEP, which is he was in the European Parliament, but he can never quite make it into being a member of Parliament in the UK. But he has a party that he started called Reform UK. He actually stepped down. There is a moment right now in which in the UK, they could have the most massive breakup of parties in a very long time. This is the kind of momentum that new parties are born in. And Reform UK just had its first Tory MP defect. So they now have representation in Parliament. Reform UK does. So the question is Nigel Farage coming back to politics?
The front pages, we've got the Sunday Express, Cressida.
Okay, Farage plots Sunak's demise. So Nigel Farage is set for a dramatic return to frontline politics in a move that could spell catastrophe for the Tories. But I don't think he's not set for it, is it? This is speculation at this point, right? You're a big Farage fan, Nick. I think you heard him speaking about this earlier this week. What did he say?
Watch Farage videos all day. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? Can you imagine if I just turned into Farage? A lot of people say... A lot of people are saying he's going to run, but he said to The Spectator that he thinks about it for several hours a day. It's like how much Lewis thinks about himself or meat. And he says he hasn't made a decision. He genuinely hasn't made it. One thing he's considering is if Starmer gets in, he goes as a kind of trade envoy to America to ease relations between Trump and Starmer, but he admits that Starmer would never ask him.
I thought you were going to do the impression. That's why I was...
I did a sort of half version of it. I bottled it. Lewis, what do you think?
I think, first of all, it's not going to spell catastrophe because the Tories are already heading for catastrophe. What do you think is going to...
It's going to make... change it to bold font.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. The Tories are... And it's like the Tories are acting like they're in shock that things aren't going that well. People have known that for like months and months, right after the whole COVID Brexit debacle. And of course, Farage is amazing. What is he going to say? I want it badly? He's not going to say it. And why would you jump on a sinking ship?
Well, I think he's going to let it sink completely, right? And then come back again.
We'll see. He could just wait for the Tories to sink completely.
Factor, though, that he's back on the front page of the Sunday Express, hinting at the idea of a comeback. Obviously, he's working for this TV station. There's a suggestion that if he does come up back, he's going to dive bomb into the electoral campaign, really, at the last minute. But can he do serious damage to the Conservatives, do you think?
Sure. I mean, I think he can, and he probably is already, because he, in the Reform... has the potential to mop up a lot of those red wall Tory voters, and losing those voters, where are the Conservatives going to get their votes from? So it's potentially, with the first-past-the-post electoral system, a major problem for the Conservatives. They managed to diminish the UKIP vote in 2015 and more recently in 2019 on the Brexit issue.
Yes.
But they don't have that card to play anymore for obvious reasons. So how they will diminish the Reform vote, it's hard to see.
It's hard to tell.
They will do.
So I don't know. Do you think he's going to come back? I don't know.
But yeah, to go along with what he was saying earlier, they're trying to essentially, they're probably afraid of what could happen. So they want to take him off of the air so that he's not on TV talking about important issues. And even before he decides to get back into politics or whatever, officially announce it, they want to, you know, kind of pull the plug on his voice, so to speak.
Yeah, well, here, this reporter's trying to corner Nigel on
so obviously, until the timing's right, he's
racism.
Not gonna officially say anything, because then he'd get booted out the air.
Yeah.
Are those kinds of comments going to be acceptable within the Reform Party?
You need to get out more. I'm not having a go at you. You need to get out more. I don't know whether you saw what happened in London last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Chants in the streets encouraging the Iran-backed Houthi terrorists to fire more missiles at ships, including British merchant ships. not even touched upon by the police. A bloke standing up with a Hamas to terrorists placard, manhandled to the ground by six police officers. From the river to the sea, which is a genocidal phrase, put up on the Elizabeth Tower beneath Big Ben. Not a single arrest. Even if the words and the way that Lee said it were a bit clumsy by his own admission, the sentiment behind it, that we're losing the streets, is that is something that is shared by many millions of people.
But Nigel, I think this is the key distinction. Everything you just laid out there, many people in the Tory party, certainly people in and outside of this Westminster bubble, would agree with you. I'm talking about the words that he used. We expect, don't we expect slightly more from our elected representatives?
Let's have no working class people in politics.
I don't think anyone's saying
the lower orders. I mean, Lee didn't even go to a public school, let alone a university. This is snobbishness. This is pure London snobbishness. And I speak as a privately educated person, all right, hands up. Mm. But this comes, and I've seen it again and again, this comes from political parties and from media. They don't like common people. And Lee's common. He's working class. And therefore, he phrases himself in a different way to those that went to Winchester
and Oxford. But Nigel, do you think it's possible that what the criticism truly is about making a statement about the layer of London?
No one gives a damn about the words. What they care about in the country, in huge numbers, is the sentiment that Lee expressed. And the feeling.
Oh, That was probably one of the better Nigel clips I've seen. Here he's talking about the farmers.
Because these days, governments care more about international agreements, supranational agreements, than they care about domestic agreements. And, of course, it's through the European Union that a series of targets were agreed way back in 2000, was when this all started, that 20% of all energy would come from renewables. Pretty that fancy. Was then up to 30%. So what happens at EU level matters. And, you know, whether you're a farmer or whatever business you're in, the rules and regulations that dominate your life come from Brussels. So this is what's really interesting. This started, of course, in the Netherlands with the farmers' protests, with dramatic election results, firstly at provincial level, then at national level, where Geert Wilders wins the most votes in the last general election. And we've seen farmer protests, and we've seen them in Germany on a huge scale. We've seen them right across Europe. But when it comes to the French, when it comes to revolting, the French are the best, and the best by far. So the eight major routes into Paris blocked. Threats that tractors were on the way to Rorges, which is the biggest food market in the world, actually. And they'd try and starve Paris out. Now, that didn't happen, but the siege of Paris was happening. What did Macron do? He said, right, guys, hang on, I'm going to Brussels. I'm going to Brussels to ask for a change in the rules. In doing that, he admitted that sovereignty no longer lay in Paris.
Mm.
You know, that he had to go to Brussels. And of course, this coincided with quite dramatic and often violent protests that took place in Brussels itself. And in the face of mob rule and a sudden understanding that a huge electoral significant sector, you know, only 1.5% of the European economy is agriculture, but symbolically it's very big. And of course, it takes up a third of the EU's budget through subsidy.
Mm.
So the EU always thought they had the farmers and the rural vote in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly they don't. And in the face of mob rule, the unelected European Commission, my old friends, if you remember,
mm-hmm.
without reference to national governments, without reference to the European Parliament, I mean, goodness gracious me, we wouldn't want elected people getting involved in this now, would we? And she, with a stroke of a pen, von der Leyen, with a stroke of a pen, is able to get rid of a whole series of targets on nitrogen, methane, meat eating, etc. And so Macron goes back to the farmers and says, look, we've got this great victory. And governments all over Europe go back and say, we've got this great victory. They believe, I think the Commission, that by doing that, they will have quelled the growing Eurosceptic tide as we head towards the European elections, which take place between the 6th and 9th of June this year. Actually, all they've done is to feed the beast. Because the farmers, you think about it. If you're French, it doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who represents you in the Assemblée Nationale. They have no relevance to your life as a farmer. None. all the relevance, everything that affects you, actually lies in Brussels. So this is a dramatic, dramatic U-turn on net zero and a whole host of other environmental targets. It's really, really big stuff. And I suspect we'll see at national level further easings as well. So it's a very, very significant...
So he kind of explained that Macron had to go to Brussels for all the things that are happening to them. That's why there are farmers protesting in Italy and France and Poland, because these are EU targets of like eating bugs like and nitrogen.
It's like you're in a store and you're talking to the clerk about something and they say, well, I need to talk to management about that. You know, it's like, well, we need to talk to the EU, the globalist people about that.
Yeah, we do. All right, so I am going to play a little bit of Lee Anderson, the MEP that has now defected, that now in the UK there is a reform UK parliamentarian.
I'm delighted to announce that I have found that champion of the Red Wall for Reform UK. He's also, coincidentally, going to be Reform UK's first Member of Parliament in the House of Commons. He is, of course, a person
I like their color.
Of
That's
great
my
integrity,
favorite color, blue.
No nonsense, and is the Member of Parliament in the
it's
County
like
of Nottinghamshire for Ashfield. Please welcome Mr. Lee Anderson.
But unfortunately, this sometimes...
So I actually have a couple more videos of him I want to actually play here. Oh, this is funny. This is what Sky News. Sky News is supposed to be a little bit right-leaning. This is what they think of the Union Jack. Now, the Union Jack there is, you know, Great Britain's flag, but it's somehow seen like as you're right-wing extremist if you fly it.
Seeing pictures from the preparations for a press conference from the Reform Party of Great Britain there, the Union Jack being rather a giveaway as to what they think about things being pitched.
The Union Jack, their flag, is a giveaway to what they think. What do you want, a European flag?
Well, it's probably
what
like
is it? What's the giveaway? Yeah. What are they giving away?
If you refer to the Founding Fathers or the American flag, it's like, well, you know, that
you got an American thing out front. We know what you believe.
Racist, you know, bigot, homophobe, whatever.
Right.
Morning, Lee Anderson, Member of Parliament for Ashfield, Reform Member of Parliament for Ashfield, just on my way to this place, just to have a butcher's at that. So, never get fed up of seeing that, but look, it's been a different week, shall I say, this week, since I joined the Reform Party, over 2,000 new members signing up, so come on, if you want our country back, if you want to help me get the country back, then join, click the link below, 25...
So I'm encouraging you all in the UK to join the Reform Party. So here's some commentary on this guy.
We're delighted, Martin, to welcome him, and good to be on your show. Thank you for having me on. We're delighted to have him amongst us. To have an MP in Parliament is incredibly...
So I want you guys to just take note for a second to the way that the different way that these guys all speak, because there's like 200 different accents in the UK. So what Nigel was referring to was Lee Anderson is common. So he is not well educated. Then what I absolutely love, I love breaking barriers of snobbishness. Okay. This guy is obviously, when you're listening to him, is one of the highest educated people, one of the higher educated people. And I love that they're happy to bring on this, they call him, like, I feel like it's like classism for Nigel to call him, he's common. He literally says he's common, but that those are the words they use, are they're posh and common.
Well, I mean, typically I'd say, like, I'm not British, but
we don't really have that here.
Yeah, it just seems like from some Brits I've heard, like on YouTube and stuff, they talk about how if you're gonna be on television, you're gonna have sort of a posh accent, or the most common is the British RP, the received pronunciation.
What do you think?
But if you're, have like a Welsh accent or like a Cumbrian accent, you're kind of like the you know, in America, like the redneck hillbilly, you know, out in the country accent. If you're in the Lake District or something like that,
powerful for us. As you know, we've been going up in the polls. The Tories, in football terms, have been scoring own goals left, right, and centre. And I think with Lee Anderson, they've scored another huge own goal. I mean, he expressed an opinion which many of us would agree with, and the Tory party suspended him. So at the end of the day, I think he has seen the light. He may well have read our working draft of our manifesto, which I think once most people see that, Martin.
So you're going to see a pretty big defection from, I think, the Tories to the Reform Party.
If I understood your new party leader when he was doing the introduction, he said Britain's broken and the Tories broke it. Do you agree?
I think every party's broke it. It's not just the Tory party, it's the Labour party. It's Parliament, Gary. It's the whole of Parliament. Oh, listen to what I have to say. It's the whole of Parliament. The whole system, the whole democratic system in this country is rigged. It doesn't represent, really, what people are saying. I live in the real world. That's a place called Ashfield, Gary. It's a Junction 28, if you ever want to pop in. When I go into the pubs and shops and walk down the street at the weekend, people are talking like me. They're talking like Lee Anderson. They're not talking like you lot or the MPs in there. They live in the real world, and they've got real concerns about the cost of living, about migration, legal migration, illegal migration, stuff like that. They're talking about, you know, the crime on the streets, the shoplifting, the fact that you can't get a police officer turn up to your house if it gets burgled, the fact that people are pulling their own teeth out, you can't get a GP appointment. So I'm here to speak
to
that's
a really big issue. They talk about
all
the time.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Because there's...
I have heard that.
All the migrants coming in and everything else.
And they get free dentists. There's not enough dentists.
Yeah, there's not enough dentists to go around for that average common folk.
There's not enough. There's not enough dentists.
And you have to pay like $1 zillion and get an appointment like really far out.
So Barry sent me this, I think. This is Why is Wales So Special?
In Ladven Hadayan Anuilimi Glad Bair Vacham Torion Enwagio Nuvri Ein Gwyr Awr Afelwyr Glad Garwyr Tramad Dros Ryddid Coll Asant I guide glad, glad, plaid your louvim glad, tramor and vir, hir bir hot by, oi bathe dir in yaith, barahai.
I love it. That's really pretty. Thanks, Barry, for sending that. I think that that's it that I've got over here. Now, I have a couple what I call commercial breaks. I don't know. I saw this. This is from China. It's called the Kissing Statue, and I just say no.
As long as...
This is insanity.
It's built a code, but...
Built a code? There's a code for flying, kissing statues that turn up in the sky. There's a... What do you mean code?
I'm not a fan of any of that sort of thing.
No, I am not doing that.
I don't trust the safety.
No.
Like, you know, in Cincinnati, they have the King's Island, and everybody knows the Beast and these roller coasters. Well,
I don't know. I don't trust it.
I can't remember who it was. Some influencer I heard recently was talking about something about how they don't trust the roller coasters and stuff.
No.
Or that fly around. Like, if you are... in the cockpit of an airplane or something, or behind the wheel of a car, you have some control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you feel like it's kind of getting out of control, you hit the brakes, you pull over to the side of the road. But with these rides, you have, like, you have no say in it. So, like, what if that little bolt that's been holding your little chair on, like where they spin the little chairs in a circle and you fly out?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what if the bolt decides that,
I don't know.
That it's had too much, you know, and...
So
your chair just goes flying off.
I've got two more what I call commercial breaks, but these are just cute. This, I believe these are Italian men, and this is the way I think. This is a good way. If you're going to play a game, get some exercise. So watch.
Let's
they're on bicycles for our podcasters, and they're literally four men racing cars by how fast they bicycle.
Yeah, let's stick with... you know, having fun.
Ben böyle iğrenç yarış görmedim. Kunal! Hale bak!
Right, yeah. Somebody's falling behind there.
Çekiyorum, çekiyorum. Devam, 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 devam. Bas gaza, 2 numara. Bırakma. Ambulans
Somebody
burada,
got
merak
tired.
Etme. Ambulans var baba, suni teneffüs yaparız.
His broke. Oh, his broke. I think his bicycle broke.
Ben yapmayacağım sana suni teneffüs abi. Kazanan. Kazanan 2 numara. Evet, 2 numara.
Oh, that looked fun. And then I saw this video here. I put this on. That this is, I guess, it's some sort of Hispanic speaking little brother and big brother. I put this on our Resistance Chicks page. Look at the baby smile. Someone said that he's singing a Spanish lullaby. I look at that smile. Okay, that is literally how I'm ending my show. That's the end of the show. We had a lot going on this week. We had, you know, it's been an interesting 4 weeks. I think we've missed. I think Michelle, the last time I did a Sunday show, Michelle was so sick. I did it all by myself. That was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so it's good to be back. I'm glad to be back. Michelle, I don't know if you want to come back to sign off with us, but.
Yes, it's worth it for the Nigel Farage tie. You know, it looks like one of those Rush Limbaugh ties from back in the day, back when he was selling ties and he had the No Boundaries collection with the super bright, vivid colors. So if you saw someone in a room with a tie on, you'd instantly know, whoa, that guy is a conservative. He's got the Limbaugh tie on.
Okay, so Michelle says, come back at 8 o'clock and we'll be... What? Eastern time, and we will be opening up packages for my birthday. So we're going to do a birthday special tonight. It's going to be really fun. 8 o'clock tonight. So be there, be square. Guys, we love you. God loves you. Remember, it's not just conspiracy theory. If it's actually the truth.
Outro.
And I'm going to click the outro. All right. And out for now. Which one? What does it say, outro?
And don't forget to go to bardsfest.com and register for... Oh. Bard's Fest, solar eclipse, April 8th.
Do the thing, you know, repeat the line. Hit the outro.
You put that on before we go.
He'd have to duck down so they can.
That's great. I think it matches. Okay.
Okay, it says outro right there. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
It's not going.